In response to the preaching, let us sing from Psalter number 263, all three stanzas of 263. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, how different is often the response to the Word of God, even among believers. In the first chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, we have two characters, the one of Zacharias and the other one of Luke. Both have given a response. However, as we heard this morning, the response of Zechariah to the good news was rather negative. But as we hope to hear, there is a different response as well. And we hope to hear more of that this afternoon, particularly when we hear of this response of Mary, this young woman from Nazareth. We may conclude on biblical grounds, however, that both of them were born again, both of them were true believers, but yet how different was the response of Zacharias to God's word as we compared to Mary's response to God's word. Zacharias' response, as we heard this morning, can be summarized as sinful skepticism. This hour, however, we want to consider another response, a positive response, as I said already, as we read here in our text, because these are the words of Mary. Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. So let us consider this matter in the following theme and division: the Virgin Mary's positive response to the message of the angel. In the first place, it was a transparent response. Secondly, a humble response. And then thirdly, a submissive response. So first then, we want to consider a transparent response. Now, congregation, we know the story. The angel Gabriel suddenly appeared to Mary. Suddenly, as out of the blue, Mary is faced with a stranger who she never saw before. We're not sure even if she realized that this was an angel or whether it was just a man. We're not told. One thing, we do know that it did scare her, and that's understandable too. And this is why the angel said so quickly right after he appeared, "Do not be afraid." And why does she not need to be afraid, you ask? Well, the angel explains that to her the next time, "For you have found favor with God." How so? How so? Well, because the angel has the most wonderful word from God to her. So unique, so unusual, so wonderfully unusual, we could say. Never heard before, and it will never ever be heard again. "Mary, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest." Now, having heard this, Mary says, "How shall this be?" In other words, how will this come to pass? How will I conceive and eventually give birth to a child without having a relationship with a man? And the angel answers her promptly, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. For with God, nothing is impossible." Now, Mary listened very carefully to what this angel had to say, and she was satisfied with that answer. Yes, it's true. She did ask the angel how she would conceive, but this was not a question of skepticism or of incredulity or of disbelief. She simply wanted to know what God's way would be to make this happen. She wanted to know how this would happen. So we also realize that Mary did not ask for a sign as Zacharias did. Zacharias, after all, he wanted a sign from God as a proof that the word of God that was spoken to him was genuine and that it was true. But Mary asked for no sign whatsoever. She has listened very carefully to this word of the angel, and she considers it to be genuine and to be true. How do we know this? Well, we know this from the response to the word of the angel. And this takes us then to our text, verse 38. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." Now, let's look at these words for a moment. First of all, this first word that she uses, "Behold." It seems to be such a small, such an insignificant word. It seems to be in line of what we would say nowadays, "Look, I want to talk with you." But the word that Mary uses here has, and translated as "behold," is a very significant word. Sometimes we know that it means pay close attention, as in, "Behold the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world." Pay close attention, therefore, to this Lamb of God. That is one meaning of "behold." But sometimes this word "behold" means "I am transparent. I have nothing to hide. There is nothing secretive about me." This is why, in the first heading, I want to speak to you about a transparent response. Because this is how we must understand Mary's word of response to the word of God when she says, "Behold, behold." As if to say, "Here I am, Lord. Look on me. This is what I am. This is who I am. I want to be an open book to you, O Lord. I want to be transparent. I have nothing to hide. I have nothing to conceal." Then Mary said, "Behold." And with this one word, "behold," Mary makes known that she wants to be as transparent as possible with God and by His word. Now, we are told in the Bible that God is, after all, an all-seeing God. He sees every man, every woman, every boy and girl. We are told, for instance, in Job chapter 34, verse 21, "For His eyes are on the ways of man, and He sees all his steps." God sees every righteous man, woman, boy, or girl. We are told, for instance, in 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him." But God also sees every unrighteous man, woman, boy, or girl, as God Himself has declared this in Jeremiah 16 and verse 17, "For my eyes are on all their ways, they are not hidden from my face, nor is their iniquity hidden from my eyes." In other words, God is all-seeing. And this, after all, is one of His attributes, one of His perfections, you could say. We sing of it, and we sing of it from Psalter 382. "If deepest darkness covers me, the darkness hideth not from thee." Or with the words of Psalter number 383, "Ere into being I was brought, thine eye did see, and thy thought, my life in all its perfect plan was ordered ere my days began." God sees us, dear people. God knows everything about us, what He sees of us. He sees what lives in us. He sees and He knows our very thoughts, our very intentions are seen by Him. Nothing good or bad is, after all, hidden from our God. This should make us, after all, very careful as to what we do, when the plans that we make, the things that occupy our thoughts, we need to be very careful about that, because God sees it all. Young people, boys and girls, do you realize that God sees everything that you do, even everything that you think? He sees everything that's inside of you. Dear people, do you realize this? That God can look into the deepest darkness, darkest and most hidden places of your and my heart. You cannot hide a thing from God. You cannot hide a thought from Him. You cannot hide an emotion from Him or a feeling or a sin. You cannot hide anything from God. For the unconverted, of course, this should be a very scary thing. God sees you and He sees your sin. Though you might be good at hiding it from other people, God sees you. He sees you. And realizing this should stir up a prayer in you. A prayer something like what you read in Psalm 139, verse 24. And see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Is this not something that we need to pray for on regular occasions, dear people? Lord, search me. See if there's any wicked way in me, and root it out. And lead me in a righteous way. Lead me in an everlasting way. But now, here, in our text, Mary voluntarily makes herself transparent. She says, "Behold, here I am, Lord. Look upon me. This is what I am. And this is who I am. I want to be an open book to you, O Lord God. I want to be transparent. I have nothing to conceal. I have nothing to hide." And dear people, what a blessing it is when we can say to the Lord our God, "Behold," or "Behold me." When we can voluntarily make ourselves transparent before God. And what a wonderful response that is already to the Word of God, isn't it? Of course, you understand that in order for us to be able to say something like that, we need a clear conscience. This means, of course, that we cannot and we may not hide any of our sins. This means also that we make no excuses whatsoever for our failings or for our weaknesses or whatever else we do that is displeasing to God. We need to place ourselves as an open book before the Lord our God. We place ourselves even under the microscope and under the searchlight of the Holy Spirit. Now, is it possible then that something will be discovered that we will have to repent of? Then we should repent of it immediately, shouldn't we? Whenever the thought comes that is not right, pray God for the spirit of repentance and forgiveness. This is part of our response when we are voluntarily transparent, isn't it? Well, as the word of God came to Mary, she gave it a transparent response. Behold, behold. But no, there's more to her response, and we must consider that in the second place, that it was a humble response. Listen again to what Mary has to say. "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord." Now we need to understand this response in the light of what the angel has just said to Mary back in verse 28. It says, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Now, this is a greeting that could very well boost your pride greatly, couldn't it? Imagine being greeted like that, by some messenger from God. Just imagine for a moment. "Greetings. You are highly favored amongst all the people in the church. You are greatly blessed." It'd be difficult to remain humble, wouldn't it? The natural heart will begin to swell up in pride. Look for a moment. Look at what God thinks of me. I'm greatly blessed amongst the people of the church. God highly favors me. I can hold my head high. I'm profitable in the kingdom of God. I'm a good office bearer. I'm a superb Sunday school teacher. I'm a well-respected church leader. I do what I can for the church. My walk of life is without reproach. I have a good grasp of Scripture as well. I can defend the faith with the best of men and women. It's true. I am highly favored. I'm greatly blessed amongst the people. Congregation, pride does not only broad wide in the world. It can also run violently in the church, even amongst faithful and respectable church members. And this is not so unusual. In fact, humanly speaking, it is even understandable, because we love to be well spoken of, don't we? We love to receive a little bit of praise once in a while. We love to be patted on the shoulders every once in a while as well. Our human constitution thrives on such attention, and believers are not immune to that. As you know, there is such a thing as spiritual pride as well. The Apostle Paul once had to warn the believers in the church of Corinth for that sort of thing when we read in 1 Corinthians 4, the verses 6 and 7, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. For who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? If anyone had reason to be spiritually proud, it is Mary, after such a greeting of rejoice, highly favored one, blessed are you among women. Yet listen to how she responds. It proves that she has been submissive to the word of God, and that she understands what the eye of God is capable of seeing. It tells us that she has been taught by God the Holy Spirit, because far from being proud, she calls herself a maidservant of the Lord. A servant girl, in other words, a lowly, insignificant maiden. And that is how Mary responds to the word. She receives it with humility. And dear people, this is also how you and I should respond to the word of God. We must receive it with humility. As the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is being proclaimed to you, the Holy Spirit desires to see a humble position on you, that you would humble yourself under the word of God. And even when great promises of God come to you, even when you are told that you are highly favored by God, and that this favor is extended to you, even when great blessings are pronounced upon you, the Holy Spirit desires that you learn this of Him, that you respond in a humble manner, and that this remains with you, not just once in a while, but that becomes your way of life. And even under all the blessings that distinguishes you from others, do as God's word teaches us. Esteem others better than yourself. That's what Paul says to the Philippians. Esteem others better than yourself. Remember, therefore, that a humble response is at all times well-pleasing to the Lord our God. And why is this so, you might ask? Why is this so? Well, it is then that the Lord can use you for His glory and for the benefit of His church. Just look at Mary. How greatly was God pleased to use her, even to make her the mother of His beloved Son. Imagine. Mary received the word of God with a humble response. Now, how are we, even at this moment, receiving the word of God as it is being proclaimed? Is there that humility to receive this word of God from our text? The example of Mary as a lesson on how you and I ought to respond to the word of God. Are you willing, humbly, to receive the explanation of our text as the Holy Spirit sees it fit to open it up for you and for me? Dear people, pray therefore that the Holy Spirit might also do a great work amongst us. Because a humble response to the Word of God is not only the best response on your part, but it will also be to the most praise of the Lord our God. A transparent response, a humble response, and now in the third place, yet a submissive response. Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Now consider again the case of Mary and what it would mean for her to say, let it be according to your word. It means conceiving, becoming pregnant while not yet married. Sure, she knows that it would be by the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, the man to whom she was engaged to and hopes to be married to someday, he also could be convinced that this was the work of God and not a work of man. But the rest of the world? What would the family, what would the friends, what would the neighbors be inclined to think? We must remember that Mary responded to God's word submissively. She accepted, therefore, then also the hazards of having her character messed up by outsiders. True, it was a blessed thing. It was a highly favored experience for Mary as a virgin to become the mother of the Lord Jesus. But it also had its serious and its difficult and its painful side as well. Surely there will be some among the people around her who would sting her with a wicked tongue or hurt her with a bit of slander or grieve her with some mocking remarks. She knew that that would come. It was not likely that everyone would believe her when she would explain that all of this was the work of God, without any involvement of man. And so she said it again, and we are reminded of it, let it be according to your word. It does mean the risk of shame, of having fingers pointed at her. It does mean mockery and ridicule, without a doubt. You know, it is one thing to respond to the word of God in faith and to receive it with a humble heart. But it is another thing yet to submit to the word of God at the risk of losing your honor in this world, at the risk of facing all sorts of consequences that might be far from pleasant and could even be painful. Mary could say, let it be according to your word. And only the Holy Spirit, you see, could give her that courage to respond in this way of submission. But again, what does that say for us, to you and to me? Can you, and I'm speaking also to myself, can I, can we, and would we be able to submit to the Word of God when it asks of us things that may bring us hard times? Can we submissively respond to all of God's word? Would you be able to submit to the word of God, my friend, whatever the consequences might be? You know, forsaking the world and crucifying the flesh is not an easy thing. Keeping your body under subjection, resisting the evil one, fleeing youthful lust, it is painful to the flesh. Saying no to temptations that rise up in the midst of this world. parting company with unbelievers, parting company with wicked friends. It is painful to the flesh. Are you willing to accept those kind of consequences? Are you willing to submit to all of the Word of God, even when you know that it will hurt at times and that it could mean the loss of a good name and the honor and the privileges that you have enjoyed so far in this world? The Word of God calls us to this sort of submissive response. The Lord Jesus said it once this way: if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed. And I just read from Luke chapter 9, 23 through 26. Following Jesus, dear people, means submissive acceptance of the consequences as well. Following Jesus. This is not easy. In fact, it is impossible without the grace of God. But has this already become your desire to respond to God's word as Mary did? Lord, let it be according to your word. You know, you will never regret that sort of response. Mary was blessed through that exact response. She did become the mother of Jesus. She could carry him in his infancy. She could bring him to birth. And she could later on say of him, my God and my Savior. Now, it is not quite as Mary could experience it, but your experience of Jesus can be as intimate, and that in a spiritual sense. By transparency of response and by a humble response, and by a submissive response to the Word of God, you may, by faith, have Jesus Christ in your heart. And the Apostle Paul, he articulated it of his own personal experience once, when he said, as I quote from Galatians 2, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who gave himself, who loved me and gave himself for me. Dear people, the word of our text and the Spirit of God calls you and me to respond as Mary once did, transparently, humbly, and submissively. Therefore, do not respond as Zacharias once did, by skepticism and in questioning unbelief. Do not respond worse than that. Don't be like those who don't respond at all, or who harden themselves against the word of God. Don't be like that. Because you must realize then that God will respond to your no response someday, and he will remove you from his favor and from his grace, and he will let you go. It is still the time of grace. It is still a favorable season, dear friends, for you to respond to the word of God and do it positively. And therefore, again, the words that once came from the mouth of the Lord Jesus are heard again. Repent and believe. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and submit yourself to his ways. Cry out to him with all the voice that you may have left. In mercy, look on me. Let me thy great salvation see and strengthen me my course to run. Dear people, Mary was highly favored, highly favored. And God gave her all she needed in order to carry through what he had promised to do for her and with her. But you, who have come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, my dear fellow brother or sister in the Lord, you too are highly favored. When by faith you have the Lord Jesus Christ living in you, occupying your heart and your life, you are highly favored to know that you are a believer and that you are a Christian and that you will never fall from that sort of grace. Do not underestimate such high favors. You may be poor, you may feel unimportant in the eyes of the world as Mary was. In the eyes of God, you are precious. You are highly favored. You may then also trust that God will give you everything that you need when difficult times rise. He will give you times to enjoy your high favor. He will then give you the grace to remain transparent before him. He will give you the grace to remain humble in his sight. He will give you the grace to remain submissive throughout your whole life. And Lord, we pray the Lord that that may be evident in your and my life, that it may also be heard and seen on you and on me. And as you leave this sanctuary in a few moments and direct your way home again, may your response to the word of God that you have heard this hour be altogether positive, as it was with the Virgin Mary, according to his grace and favor. And so what we have heard today is a sinful response and a positive response. What is it for you and for me? Amen.